Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life. Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
When I was young, I knew something was wrong. My mother would forget to pick me up from school.
Drugs and alcohol may make you forget your problems.
My mother got help, and because of recovery, she is here for me.
Hi, Mom.
You ready?
Let's go.
For drug and alcohol treatment for you or someone you love, call 1-800-662-HELP. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Snickerdoodle shortbread, touching up bars. How many cheeks in the cookie jar?
One. Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
I am, and so are you. I am, you are, I am that I am. Who are you? You are the I am presence. The presence is no, it's never, ever, ever absent. Always present. We just got to remind ourselves that we are one with the one. But in this beautiful playground called Earth, we're playing the cosmic game called hide and seek. So we're here to remind you. I am. Yes, indeed. I am that I am. I am that I am. I am. I am. Are you? Yes, indeed. That's Charles Hope reminding us who we are. That we are a child of creation. When we get to create in every given moment, sometimes we create what we don't really want. But then again, do we create what we don't really want? Or we create that we need for our own spiritual growth? I don't know. Maybe I do. Maybe I don't. But I'm willing to say I don't know. Because really, what do I really know? Because I know nothing. I am one with the nothing that is everything. Mm-hmm. Indeed, indeed, indeed. Life is good. It's getting better. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you for tuning into Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference. You make a difference simply because you are. Simply because you exist. Simply because you were here, simply because you can hear this conversation, you make a difference. And if you don't know it, if you're not feeling it, just tweak your consciousness. That because of you right now, someone knows who they really are. Someone is appreciative. Someone is grateful. Someone knows they can count on you because you're committed to your own personal growth and transformation. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Today's topic is the Toltec Wisdom with the Toltec Master Teacher, Jeannie Gentry. And I am so excited to have this conversation. I'm always excited, you know. Any conversation that's about expansion, bring it. I'm ready. We are here Monday to Thursday, 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern. Okay, let's try that again. I'm here Monday to Thursday. We start at 12. But we're resisting moving longer than 1:30. But we do go over 1:30. But really, officially, just don't tell anybody else. It's 12 to 1:30 p.m. Okay, that's just tell people that. Sometimes we go a little bit longer because we are time. And speaking of time, let me bring on my co-producer, my friend, and welcome all of you in the chat room. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Tamara Joy, nice to see you. Where you been? We're going to put you in a spiritual timeout, which is called meditation. I know you were having a happy other time out. Cheers. Alex, nice to see you. Silent listeners, Kefir, Miracles of Joy, Nahali, Sylvia, welcome, welcome, welcome. Let's welcome my wonderful friend, my co-producer. And she's not listening right now, but I want to tell you guys, listen, she's distracted. Listen, it was Betty's birthday yesterday. So make sure you wish her a happy birthday. So let me get her attention. Betty, it's your time. We're happy to have you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hello, Betty. What's wrong with the people? Everybody's all quiet.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, but all the people were like, I guess because I was whispering, they were paying attention to what I was saying. Oh, there they are. They woke up. Oh, wait. Hold on, Betty. I got to do something. Let me drink some water. Can you calm down? This is Betty's moment. Just stop it, okay? I am, you are, but you can be quiet. Let me drink some water. There you go. Water, let me drink some water. Jesus, help me. I'm going to need Jesus to help me with this.
Jesus,
one.
Help you.
Okay, good. Here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Betty. Ooh, I got hijacked. Happy birthday to you. God is blessing you now. God is blessing you now. Here we go. God is blessing you now.
God is blessing you now. Okay, you guys can clap now. Hopefully you'll be on the team. Thank you. Oh, that was a baby.
Wow. That was the best birthday song you sang yet to date. Get
Happy birthday, my friend.
I'm glad
what
it
did
happened
you do?
I had a great birthday. Great, great birthday. I got so many wonderful birthday wishes. I want to say thank you to those who sent me birthday greetings and wishes. I even got a birthday cake with 29 candles, and each gentleman thought I was 29. How sweet they were. So,
did you correct, were you being authentic enough to correct him? Like, ooh, you messed out. Never mind. I have no age. I am beyond numbers.
If I look 29, who was I to correct them, right?
I know that's right.
Good morning, afternoon, wherever you are in this moment. Now, as you know, my name is Betty, and each day I bring you the going ons, the coming ins, and the going outs of Life Conversations Radio. For those joining us in the chat room today, when wanting to ask a question to the Life Coach Ade or our guest, please go to our Ask Life Coach Ade page on Facebook and post your question there. Now, I am on that page live during the show, so I will immediately be able to see anything you post and get it back to Ade and our guest. Now, if you do not do Facebook, please go to our radio website, LifeConversationsMedia.com. Click on the Ask Life Coach Ade tab and send us your question or comments that way. Now, this is a great option to use if you're choosing to send in a question and wanting to remain anonymous. Of course, the best way and easiest way to ask a question is to call in and punch one on your keypad. Now, this will raise your hand and let me know you have a question to ask or a comment to make. And I will, for our chat room people, be posting those links periodically throughout the show. Now, join us tomorrow where Ade flies solo with Ask Life Coach Ade. He'll be taking your calls and answering your questions on anything you need help moving, flowing, and growing through. Wednesday, we double your pleasure with Conscious Parenting with Michelle Stafford Brown and Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson. And finishing the week, we have musical alchemist and world-renowned musician Filippo Francini. I hope I said that right. And finally, make sure you're present when Celeste Morgan will stop by each day for an inspirational celestial moment. Now, to learn more about Life Conversations Radio, its host, programming, upcoming guests, and more, please visit us at LifeConversationsMedia.com. To follow, like, and listen to any of our archived shows, please visit LifeConversationsRadio.com. Life Coach Ade, thank you for the birthday song. Now you can take it away.
You're very welcome, my friend. Thank you. Yes, indeed, you are listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Life is good. It's getting better. As Betty said, all shows are archived, and you missed the shows last week. You just need to go back and just listen. Listen to Greg Braden. Listen to Summer McStravick. Listen to Deborah Johnson. As a matter of fact, just take your time every day after the live show. Just prescribe yourself another show. You'll be spiritually aligned. And speaking of spiritual alignment, we are going to align you with our guest right now, who is in the house waiting patiently to just rain down some wisdom on us. She's already walking in it, she's carrying it, and she has a fascinating story. And let me tell you a little bit about her while I do what is known as tabbing. You know, all those other tabs that you've got to click here and click that. Okay, let me tell you a little bit, a tiny little bit, because she's so much more than this. Accomplished international speaker and workshop leader, Jenny Gentry, worked side-by-side with world-renowned Toltec Master Don Miguel Ruiz for 14 years, first as his manager and student, and later as his teaching partner. I just love that. You hang around enough. You hang long enough around a master teacher, you become a master teacher. That's just the way it is. The fact that you're with the master teacher is a reflection of who you are. For whoever is listening, wherever you are is where you are. Let's keep reading. Just love life, you know. Life is just such a beautiful experience. During this time, she earned the title of Ngwa Woman, the female spiritual leader of the Toltec Eagle Knight lineage. As Ruiz's manager, she served as content editor and marketing consultant for his New York Times best-selling book, The Four Agreements, an instant classic enthusiastically endorsed by Oprah Winfrey. Jeannie Gentry is the author of the Amazon bestseller Dream Down Heaven. This book within a book offers a revolutionary new take on the personal growth genre that combines accessible nonfiction with illuminating fiction. That's what it's about. We are here to dream down heaven. You're not really in this body. It's just a game. Well, anyway, ladies and gentlemen, help me welcome my wonderful guest, Jeannie Gentry.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And I'm going to do us all a favor and not sing happy birthday to Betty, but Betty, happy annual 29th, honey.
Come on, Jeannie, come on, do it. Do it, you can. You can.
They say it's your birthday. Do.
There you go.
Anyway.
And you know, as you teach, if other people say, I can't take it too much singing, you know it's not about us, it's not about you, it's about them. So if anybody had issue with my singing voice, it's not about me, it's about you. Welcome, Jeannie, to Live Conversations Radio. It's nice to have you. So, as always, I always ask my guests. I asked you, I read a little bit about you. There's so much about you on your website, which will give your website address out soon, but people get to feel you and experience you. But I want to ask you from your perspective, from how you see yourself, from your point of view, who are you? Who is Jeannie Gentry?
Okay. So right off the gate, you know, honey, I don't have the faintest idea how to answer that question.
Good.
You know,
I like that.
I can, like everyone else, you know, I can sit down and I can create a resume and I can tell a story of me from a zillion different perspectives. You know, I can tell the Jeannie Gentry who was the victim and so sad and, you know, all of these things. And I can tell about the fancy in the wall woman. I can tell stories. But the truth of myself is some unfathomable, infinite aspect that I can only barely imagine.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you want to hear a story? Do you want to know that the truth is I don't know exactly, but I have faith, you know. I have faith that it is an extraordinary, eternal aspect that I can only barely understand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that refreshing answer. I feel it. I recognize it. And there's so much in there. And, you know, the song I played, I Am, it's really about that. How do you really describe or explain or define this I Am presence? And speaking of that, let me just remind listeners, those of you who want to find out more about Charles Holt, you can go to his website. It is Charles, H-O-L-T, Holt, Productions.com. And his song, the title is I Am. And as I listen to you, Jeannie, I think of that question that I ask all my guests and has been asked to me. What it brings up for me is this, that life is a paradox. There's a school of thought that says, unless you know yourself, you will never be happy. And then when we say, who am I? It's like, I mean, I'm a mother, I'm a father, I'm an uncle, I'm an aunt, I'm an author, I'm a radio host, I'm a coach, I'm this. But that still doesn't touch the essence of who we really are. And I think that's part of the, in a way, it's like a challenge because we're walking this path,
trying to figure out who we are. And then the more we find out or the more we know, the more we realize we don't know. And I just want you to speak to that from your perspective, from your experience, that whole paradox of life, of knowing self and then finding out, actually, there's more than I don't know. Oh, my God, there's so much more to know.
You know, my experience of it is it's like an evolution. This idea that we need to know ourselves is true, really true in this regard. If we are going to be happy, if we are going to finally say no to our suffering, then we have to see the way that we have played in the world, how we have created our sense of self. Just because we've created that doesn't mean that that's the enduring aspect, but it means that it's our creation. So certainly, if we have a creation that has been limited by our belief system, certainly, then we have to absolutely come to understand what that is. We have to be able to distinguish between ourselves and others. And I say that because, you know, I'm a clairsentient, and I could feel all these things, and I couldn't tell the difference between whether I was feeling my own sense of reaction or emotion, or if I was feeling someone else's. And the way that that became revealed to me was as I really grew to understand what this human I had created, you know, on her journey. So, you know, I gave you an esoteric answer, but the truth is we have all of these layers and levels we go through. What is true for us at one juncture is not going to be true at another. If, you know, if any of us thinks back to the moment when we were all pretty sure we were just a victim of, you know, just society, you know, we completely ignored our own participation. It was like it was happening to us as opposed to with our will for participation. So as we learned these things, as we became more understanding of our own power in it, you know, then we began to change this idea of who we were. And so for a long time, you know, we do it within a dualistic belief system. You know, as you know, it's like the belief system has good, bad, right, wrong, you know, all of these concepts that are dualistic. But then, you know, the whole idea of the I am, of the awakening, has to occur outside of dualism. But there's layers between here and there. There's a million steps on the spiral of becoming, and all of them are perfect and must be experienced. You know, earlier you said, did we bring these things to ourselves so that we could learn from them? Or, in fact, do we do those things because we haven't learned yet? And but the awareness, bringing awareness to it, is what makes all the difference in the story we tell.
Yes, yes, awareness. Because with awareness comes the healing, you know.
Absolutely.
We become aware that, oh, okay, I understand. Part of this was out of my control on one aspect, and the other part is all part of the journey. Because one of the things that I'm clear about, we say we are one with the one, we are one with God. And if God is all there is, the Creator is all there is, so everything that the one experiences, we all do. So you talked about how you pick up other people's feelings and things that happen. Because we're one with it, there's a connection, so we're going to feel that. And awareness helps us be gentle with ourselves and say, wait a minute, let me not beat myself up from what I'm feeling. Let me not beat myself up from this thought that came out of nowhere, that came out of the blue, you know. And awareness does bring healing. I want to go back a little bit, your story.
Sure.
You are a Toltec master teacher, and your story is you started as a manager, as a student of Don Miguel Ruiz, and then one day he just
tossed you into the School of Deep Hand and said, you're teaching tonight. And you're like, whoa, tell us about that. You know, you went from working with them as like, you're teaching. Oh, wait, let me go take notes. Give me that note. You don't need no note. Tell us that story.
You know, it's really a great story. Actually, I'll take you back even further. The first time I brought Miguel to the, I was living in a yoga center in Northern California. And the first time I brought him there as a speaker, I had managed to come up with like over 100 people, and it was a very nerve-wracking thing to have created this, and was I doing it right, and all of these thoughts. And so I was very busy, and he said, well, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm looking for someone to introduce you, someone important, you know. And he said, well, that's just ridiculous. You're going to introduce me. I said, well, I couldn't possibly get up in front of a group and talk. This is hysterical now. I'm sure to all the people who've seen me over the years get up in front of hundreds and thousands of people and talk. But the beginning moment was that moment. And I stood in front of this group of people, and I had to lock my arms on the back of a chair because I was shaking so badly that to stand up, I had to hold myself up. So, you know, cut to the scene that you're mentioning, you know, probably 5 years later, 4 years, 4 years later, I was in Teotihuacan with Miguel, and we had had huge groups. We had had a group of almost 100 who had been there, and then another group was coming in, similar size. And we were at breakfast in between the two groups, and he said, he just sort of casually looked over at me and said, well, you know you're going to be teaching tonight. And I said, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Of course I'm not going to be teaching. These people have come
to
see
you. The most ridiculous thing you've ever heard, that you're going to be teaching. That's funny.
Well, it was the truth. I really felt that. I was like, well, you know, I have nothing to say. They have paid, you know, bunches of money to come see you. That isn't going to happen. And he said, well, of course it's going to happen. You are going to be teaching tonight. It was the most depressing, overwhelming thing I'd ever heard. I went rushing back to the hotel from breakfast and just in a dead panic about what on earth could I possibly teach. So I got out a yellow-lined piece of paper and began to write notes of what I thought might have some good intellectual value for these people that had come to see this great master. And about 15 minutes after I got there, 10 or 15 minutes, he knocked on my door with another one of his old-time extraordinary students, and he said, well, what? And they walked into my room. He said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm making notes. He said, on what? I said, well, I have to teach tonight. And he said, no, yes, you do, but now you have to play. And he tore up my notes. And between them, they kept me completely busy all day long so that the mind didn't have a chance to go, one, worry, or two, even begin to create a plan. So then I had 100 people come in that day, and I was very busy with the details of that. So that night, as we were walking from dinner back to the hotel to where I'm going to teach these people, I thought, girlfriend, you're in trouble. You know, you don't know what you're going to do. You don't have any idea, and you're going to do it in front of 100 people. And I guess you're just going to have to trust. And then trust wandered into my world. And that night, I got up, and I taught about trust. And I let it flow from the heart, and the mind stayed out of it. It was an extraordinary experience of surrender, of trust, of really connecting with the extraordinary that is always available to any of us, you know? I think really this idea of being a master, all it really means is that you shut up and let the heart express itself, you know?
That's right. So, that's right. Yes, I so get that. And so, you know, we could actually say that the journey of life is the process of trusting the heart. You know, it's letting go of everything and trusting the heart, that the heart knows. And that takes work. It takes play. It takes listening. It takes mistakes. It takes screw-ups to get to a point to say, I just give up. And I think that's some of the things that we're challenged with. I want to talk about, you know, the Toltec wisdom teaches us that life is a dream. I want to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk more about that, this life being a dream, because some of us are not experiencing it as a dream. We experience it as a nightmare. Or sometimes we feel like we're being hijacked and we can't break the cycle. And it's like,
okay,
so when we come back, we'll talk more about that. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. My very special guest is Jenny Gentry. Her website address is that Jenny, G-I-N-E. No, it's not. Try again. Because I was thinking that. G-I-N-I, and the last name is Gentry. It's G-E-N-T-R-Y. So it's JennyGentry.com. You can find out more about her. She's a teacher and just spent a lot of time, 14 years, with Don Miguel Ruiz, the author of The Four Agreements. We're taking your questions and comments and numbers. We're not taking your numbers. We don't need your numbers. We've got enough numbers. But you can call in. The number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. Maybe there's a part of, you know, you've been a student of a work, or maybe you've read the Four Agreements, or the other one, The Mastery of Love, and you're still challenging. You've got questions. Well, here's the opportunity. We're also taking your questions on Ask Life Coach Ade fan page, Ask Life Coach ADE fan page on Facebook. And if you don't do Facebook, you can go to LifeConversationsMedia.com. LifeConversationsMedia.com, and click the Ask Life Coach at a fan page. Let's take a break. We're going to go deeper. We're going to talk about creating your own reality and the power of self-love. Are you ready, willing to transform the pain, starting with embracing it?
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello there. My name is Michelle Brown Stafford, child prodigy mom and parental involvement activist, urging parents to get involved in their children's education. At the age of 13, our son, Stephen Stafford, became the youngest ever to enroll as a full-time regular student in Morehouse College's 150-year history. This occurred only after well-meaning educators failed to identify our son's gifts in the classroom. Knowing who our son was, my husband and I got involved and prevented Stephen from falling through the educational cracks. So parents, get involved. Stay involved. Your child's potential is definitely worth it.
If you think depression is all in a person's head, you're right. It's a brain illness. And like other illnesses, it has symptoms. A person suffering from depression might feel sad, empty, or numb. They might sleep more or less, eat a lot, or not at all, or show little interest in participating in ordinary activities. Mood swings, including anger and sadness, are common. They're often tired and have a hard time concentrating or making decisions. Depression can make those who suffer from it feel hopeless. It can even lead to suicide. If you see the symptoms of depression, get that person to a doctor. With medical help, depression can be treated and suicide can be prevented. Learn how to stop depression from taking another life. Call SAVE, Suicide Awareness Voices of Education, 1-888-511-SAVE. On the web at save.org.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. To the community. To the community. To the community. To the community.
Yes, indeed. We have set the intention to activate your voice, your gift of expression. And, you know, it's about being impeccable with your words because your words create. We're talking more about that. 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. My guest is Jenny Gentry and Toltec Master Teacher, and I'm just supporting us and sharing joyfully in a very, I mean, she's just got a beautiful energy. Can you feel it? Just so soothing. She's reminding us that life is but a dream. They told us when we were in school, row, row, row your boat, get thee down the stream, merrily, 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 merrily. Life is but a dream. Why am I singing today? What is really going on? But anyway, let me bring Jenny on real quick before I start thinking of another song. So the Toltec wisdom tells us life is a dream and we're creating it. We're painting our world. We're decorating it. But as I said earlier, some of us are saying, I didn't create this. Why the hell would I create this kind of life? Why would I choose this kind of parent? I don't get it. Please bring some enlightenment.
Oh, gosh, you've just given us enough questions to pursue for about a month, so I hope we can stay past the hour and a half, huh? You know, first of all, let's just talk about what is this idea of a dream. We know at night that we're dreaming. You know, what we don't understand is that we're really dreaming all the time. And if I explain it like this, perhaps it will help you to understand. You and I, it's like if you were here right now and we looked outside and we saw something, however it is that we saw it, we would have a different experience of it. From the time we're very, very young, we have things that happen to us that begin to create a frame that exists within our dream. We're taught how to feel about things. We have experiences of things. But everybody is perceiving it differently. The mind can only focus on a few things at once. So the way that the mind learns what it's going to focus on is what we would call the process of dreaming. It's the process of how we create reality. Maybe that's an easier way to say it. You know, in the nighttime dream, we know it's a dream. Well, I mean, not necessarily when we're sleeping, but you and I talk about it, can agree that it's a dream. But the truth is, there are like 7 billion folks on the planet, and they're all perceiving reality from a different point of view. They are dreaming reality. And so what I'm really saying is that we take whatever pieces that we've conditioned, that we've chosen without awareness, and those things begin to form this idea of how we dream or construct reality. You know, earlier you were talking about something, and you said, well, some things are out of our control. Well, the truth is, absolutely everything is out of our control. You know, we show up, we give it our best shot. But what is in control is how we are going to react to whatever is going on outside of ourselves. If we think that that we don't have any power, that we're powerless, then we completely abdicate responsibility for our experience. So, yes, is it a nightmare out there? Oh, goodness sakes, of course. You know, you can't be having a dualistic belief system, and that alone, you know, is a nightmare because so much of it is based on fear. You know, the whole thing about dualism is fear's the big player in it. You know, of course, the dream is really dominated by fear. It's like all you have to do is look at one thing that goes on in the political arena, which I don't want to talk about, but I just want to say that, you know, they play the low card. It's always how you get the human's attention is with fear. But we have the control of the dream. No matter what is going on, no matter how poor, no matter the circumstances, it is still within our dominion to choose our response. You know, I think many of us came from very poor, obviously, you know, within the humanity, many people came from very poor backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember the lack of indoor plumbing, you know? And yet I can tell you that what I came to see in life was that that wasn't what would take my happiness away.
Mm.
You know, I would voluntarily give up my happiness. Certainly, we have emotions that run through us, and they're a natural part of being human. But we can choose in so many ways how it is to look at the glass half full or half empty, and we're going to call that the dream. So if we're dreaming that the glass is half empty, then we can say that we are dreaming with a nightmare. That the choice is to see the lack as opposed, as opposed to see the grace of the half full. You know, the grace of the next breath.
Yes. This is a choice. And there's a question from a listener. The question is, are we creating this life, or is our life based on previous karma?
Well, you know, here's the thing. If indeed reincarnation is viable, then it doesn't really matter, because all that we've got is this moment. So whether we had a series of things, if you will, that we put in place over time, or whether it is something that we put in place in this lifetime, what is true is that the only time to deal with it is in the current moment. So the mind can go, well, goodness, these things happened, you know. And some of that can be very entertaining, you know, and I was, you know, killed as a witch, and, you know, all these things. And if we're afraid...
It could be fascinating, right? But now, let's deal with now, right?
Well, the thing is, you can't go back and undo that, but what you can do is you can undo your fear now. The only time that we ever can undo, let's just say fear or bad thoughts or anything, the only time we can do it's in the current moment. You know, we can talk about when it started, but the moment's the way out. It's, you know, the key, because it's always going to show up as now. You know, we can't do it tomorrow, because tomorrow's going to show up as now, and now is the place where the action is.
Mm.
You know, it's in the moment.
So when we're stuck, which is to say when we're stuck, when we can't find our way out, or things look chaotic, and it looks like we're about to lose our mind, the moment, this moment, is the way out. If we just become present to this moment, you're saying, you know, that's it. And when we can go present to the moment, we can find our way out of that stuckness, if you will, right?
Absolutely. You know, so much of our worry is about something that hasn't happened or something that's going to happen. But if you check it out in the exact moment you're in, you can catch your breath. You know, I have learned for myself that if, aside from the fact that worry just simply is not preparation, you know, it's not a worthy, a worthy activity. It doesn't do anything. You know, somehow we've been taught that worry accomplishes something, like as if. But if there's something that I really don't understand how to be with, if I set it aside and let my mind, you know, take my mind and the committee in my mind away from something, and then the answers get to come forward. You know, the worry almost sets up a barricade to a deeper understanding.
Right.
But if you clear the mind, then the answers get to appear. You know, there's not a blockade for what can happen. And of course they're going to appear in the moment. Of course they are. And I know this is some complicated stuff, because all of it's a process. You know, and what we have to do to get a foundation under us in one moment could be contradicted in another moment, but we have
to keep
building a really sturdy foundation.
Yes, yes. So true. So you're just joining us. My guest is Ginny Gentry. She is a Toltec master teacher, and I'm sharing just simple principles. We've got to be gentle with ourselves to break through. She's sharing with us how we can do that. We're taking your calls. What is it? 347-426-3346. Press 1 on your keypads. And we're also taking your question on the Ask Life Coach at a fan page on Facebook. And speaking of Facebook, we ask you to share the show right now, this very moment, this now, not later, now, this is all you got, right now, by clicking the like button on the page if you're listening online, or tweeting it, or texting it, if you're listening on the phone, just tell people to listen, this is where you need to be right now. They say, why? Tell them to tune in and find out why. You don't have to answer that for them. So, yes, and we appreciate you doing it. We appreciate you so much for doing that. I want to go to the, you have, I just want to dance. There's a different things that, are, that that from your work that I've seen, but we're talking about being in the now. And you have these 12 keystones. And this we're not going to go through all of it, but I want to pick out some. And one that jumps at me right now as you're talking, and I think we all need to know that right now, especially with things shifting so fast, the vibration and all the, not only the vibration, the information we're getting, you talk about politics earlier, there's so much going on that if we're not in this moment, it can drive us nuts. One of the keystones is patience is the fastest way to the authentic self. Can you speak on that?
Well, yes, I can. You know, I think one of the things that I experienced, certainly what I've witnessed with students, is that we are in, you know, all our lives we've been awarded for memorizing something. You know, we've been awarded for how our intellect is, you know, figuring things out, or, you know, how our personality, you know, gets over, whatever it is. You know, we're awarded for these things. And so when people do the spiritual journey, the first thing they do is try to memorize a bunch of information. They put on a little white outfit, and they go around trying to act holy, and then they assume they've got it all squared away. And the truth is, we have to absolutely experience the lessons that are there. We have to, you know, move past our shame and judgment. We have to get a grip on our emotional reactions. We have to accept the reactions, all of these things, before we can make life-affirming choices. You know, self-awareness is like a spiral. It's like what we're saying. What's true, it has to be experienced, and the key is experienced. You know, wisdom doesn't come from intellectual understanding. Wisdom comes from the embodiment of the experience. So if you're rushing along trying to look like something, you know, really all you're doing is you're getting a new mask on. And the new mask isn't going to solve the matters of the heart. It isn't going to remove fear from your life. So to be patient is to go, okay, this is where I am now. And now in this moment, let me take the steps, the action. Let me be responsible, as opposed to trying to rush through, build our house on sand, you know, and then watch it not be able to stand up under pressure.
Mm-hmm. I listened to what you're saying. We've got a question in, from a listener. I listened to what you're sharing with us, and it's really, really simple. You know, it's really simple. That's what we teach our children when they're younger. We tell them to be nice. We tell them to share. We tell them to honor their feeling. Are you sad? We don't judge or criticize them for feeling sad or pooping on themselves. We don't say, what's wrong with you? You're 2 months. You should learn to do what we humans do. You know, we gentle, we clean them. But somehow as adults, we find it hard to digest the simplicity of truth. And, what is that about? I mean, I have some thoughts, but I want to hear you. Why do we find it hard to digest, embrace the simple truth it seems like we have a need to make it complicated for it to make sense. And it's a complication that got us in trouble.
I would really love to answer that question, but I don't have the faintest idea. You know, if I were to just take a stab at it, it's just simply the belief system that's in place. I'm going to go back again to you can't have a bunch of beer, you know, running the show, and then expect it to, you know, to take the easy way out. Of course, we would never yell at a child who was learning to crawl and saying, you're crawling wrong. It just would not happen. And yet on the spiritual journey, we are beginning to crawl because, in fact, we have to undo the very roots of the fear-based belief system that we learned. It's not for the faint of heart, you know. And yet, you know, sometimes I wonder, well, what on earth am I going to teach? Because all there is love. What do I do? Do I get up and for an hour just sort of chant, all there is love? Because really what the learning is about is how to undo all the fear. As we undo all the fear, all the false beliefs, what we find is the love that has always been there. It just became shrouded under all of these crazy things we learned. So is it simple? Absolutely. You know, my great mantra is, when in doubt, ask, what would love do here? Then do it. I mean, everything can boil down to that. It's so simple. But we have this little problem called judgment. Somehow, we confused safe with familiar. We confused safe with our ability to judge something and keep it away from us. But the judge is like he's out of control, you know. He's a hanging judge, as we say here in, you know, the Southwest. You know, just hands out indeterminate sentences, which we all know just isn't a real good plan if you're into a little healing. So the judge, you know, is ruling our lives, and undoing the judge is really quite a task. Because, as you know, the judge morphs as we change. The judge reads the same self-help books. You know, the judge runs around in a little white outfit after a while going, well, I'll see how well you're doing. Too bad everyone else isn't as evolved as you are. You know, the judge can pull a number on you in a heartbeat.
Yes. and the judge, it seems like the judge's mission is to keep you separated from everybody else. And it will do every and anything.
Absolutely.
And the thing about the judge, as you were sharing, is we the one that feed the judge to judge us and others. And so being patient
and
helps
we,
us to.
And honestly, we do it because we're trying to do the right thing. We're trying to stay safe. We just don't ever stop for a minute and go, okay, safe from what? We just don't ask that question because we don't feel safe. And guys would never use the term that they don't feel safe. You know, whatever I say to a male student, well, you don't feel safe, they look at me like, what do you mean? Look how brave and strong I am. You obviously have me confused. You know, I am safe. And, of course, that's completely different a different
that's
concept,
right.
You know.
That's right. You got a question from a listener. Well, let's see. She said, does anyone take anything from us, or do we give our happiness away?
We give our happiness away on a silver platter. You know, I love that that whole term of, you know, I gave, you know, somebody took my power. Well, you know, honey, nobody takes our power. We volunteer it. We abdicate responsibility for it. But no one could take your power. You know, power, that's just silly because, of course, it's there. And yet I completely understand, you know, how that concept gets going within us. But it's not. Just because I understand it doesn't mean it's true.
Right.
So.
Right. So it's willing to see things differently. And part of what I you know, there's another question here which we'll deal with on the other side that she asked, but I think the distinction you made between wisdom is about the experience. I always say wisdom is knowledge experienced. You know, we can talk about things and talk about it. I've learned this, I've read that, I know this, I've found out about this, I've done this. But unless you experience the knowledge that you're talking about, it's not going to fully serve you when you really need it to serve you. But when we come from a place of wisdom, from what I'm hearing you say is, you know, we can just go with the flow. We can just grow with the flow and glow with it and just be at peace with the moment because there's so much more that we don't know. And that
was here's a way to hold it. When we know something intellectually, it doesn't control our automatic behavior. When we believe something, it means that we have embodied the wisdom, and then our day-to-day actions and reactions are completely influenced, are guided, I should say, by our beliefs. Mm-hmm. So knowing that we should love, knowing we shouldn't judge, isn't going to keep us from judging. But when we embody the wisdom through our experience, then it becomes automatic. It isn't something that we have to contrive to do. And if we lose our happiness, and of course, you know, those things happen, it comes back real fast. You know, it doesn't stay lost because your beliefs, you know, pull you back to what you know to be true.
Yes, yes. And that's a very, very important distinction you just made. I want to unpack that a little more. We're going to take a quick break to do Celestial Moment. But the part where you said what we know doesn't impact or affect our automatic behavior, because when people are having a challenge or criticizing themselves or whatever it is, they're not feeling good. They say, I know I'm not supposed to do that. I know, but I've never heard anybody beat themselves up and say, I believe I shouldn't do it. You know, it's always, I know I shouldn't do it. I know it's moving me away. When we, after Celestial Moments, I wanted to talk a little bit more about that because I really sense that that's the real challenge. We know the truth, but what we believe is what's taking us away from the truth that we say we know. And it's all
absolutely
in the embodying. Yeah, we're going to talk about that. The number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. Press 1 on your keypad. We're taking your questions and comments. And my guest is Jenny Gentry. Her website address. What is really going on today? Words in my tongue and everything just acting crazy. Okay, but I just let it be. I'll be patient with myself. You can go to her website. It's Jenny, G-I-N-E, Gentry, which is G-E-N-T-R-Y.com to find out more about what she's doing, upcoming retreats. You know, their tools are right here to do everything that we need to do. We want to move from knowing to believing. But we're going to talk more about that. It's now time for Celestial Moments with Celeste Morgan, who is waiting patiently and joyfully with a big old smile on her face. Hello, Celeste. How are you doing?
Hello, Life Coach Aday. And hello, Jenny. I am enjoying your conversation. It is beautiful on a Monday. And I want to say hello to the family. Good afternoon, family. In case you didn't catch it, my name is Celeste Morgan. And it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moments. Numbers provide us with information to help us navigate and embrace all that is showing up in our life right now. I come bearing a number gift with double the power. Today, we are playing with a master number. It's Monday, January 23rd, 2012. Happy Chinese New Year. Welcome to Water Dragon. It's also a new moon in Aquarius. Get ready to unwrap some blessings. Now add January 23rd, 2012, and you get 2036. Add 2036, and it equals 11. 11 is the moose in medicine cards, and it is about having a healthy self-esteem. K is the 11th letter of the alphabet. One of my favorite words is night. 11 also shows up in tarot as either strength or justice. Now, the last time we played with 11, we learned to embrace our shadows instead of running from them. Today, we are looking at 11 through the eyes of justice. Justice is traditionally featured with a woman holding a sword and a scale. She is to be impartial, objective, and fair. Now, justice, from the perspective of Mother Peace, features three goddesses in a forest setting far, far away from courts and buildings. The goddesses are listening for messages from Mother Earth, as represented by the Tree of Life and the deer, which speaks for all humanity and animals. The last goddess holds crystal and senses for the pulse at the center of the earth. Justice is not expressed as the ultimate get-back or karmic cop righting all wrongs. Justice emerges with the touch of the mother, gifting unconditional love, patience, kindness, and attention. The flow of Great Spirit is honored when all needs are heard and met. We position ourselves like masters, reflecting 11 and justice when we take the time to listen. All is well. I'll see you on Tuesday around 1 for another celestial moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Celeste. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Celestial Moments with Celeste Morgan every day. Well, while we're live. While we're live, that's, what is it, 1 p.m. or, like you said, around 1, because it's usually around 1. Depends on what's happening. Yes, indeed. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. We are here Monday to Thursday, 12 to 1:30 p.m. Sometimes we go longer because we can. And today we are going deeper, not just longer, we're going deeper. We are talking at this moment about the difference between embodying truth and knowing truth. And when I say knowing truth, I'm talking about knowing it intellectually. So, Jenny, let's talk a little bit more about that, because I feel that that's where, you know, that's the place where we're really challenged, you know, embodying what we know, embodying it. Because when we embody it, you know, we've embodied that fire burns, or it can warm you up. You just don't know it. You're like, oh, I know, I read about it. No, we know. So let's talk more about that and what we can do to embody the truth that we know.
Well, let me tell you how I stumbled onto a few of the facts around this, because there are actually some facts. Many years ago, I had a group down at Teotihuacan with me. It's a sacred pyramid site in Mexico where I take folks who would really like to explore, you know, the vastness of who they are. And there was a man on the journey who was a researcher for the National Education Association. And he said, you know, when children need to believe something, they need 6 different experiences of it to change it from knowledge to belief. In other words, to change it from something you know, but to get it to sort of guide the automatic pilot of your airplane.
Mm-hmm.
An adult requires 13 different experiences before it becomes a natural reaction. Let's just use the word reaction, or your own autopilot. So, if we know that fear is not our best choice, but we keep having this occurrence of fear, and we know it's not our best choice, then we probably get in there and beat ourselves up about it, and, you know, some other really unworthy kinds of activities.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can begin to really focus some awareness on it, then we can start to catch it before it really takes us down, you know, just sort of like to be able to see it coming. And even though at some point, let's just say halfway through these experiences, you still can't stop your reaction, but you can begin to imagine what it would be like to do it differently.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can, with the awareness, you can make a choice to do it differently, even though you don't quite believe it yet. Even though your automatic pilot isn't in operation, you can make a choice. So that what you're really doing then is you are you're training yourself to what habits would be in place if you did believe it.
Mm.
You know, stopping from having a reaction, stopping from yelling, stopping from putting yourself down. You know, it's like someone who puts themselves down, you know, constantly in a conversation. And let's just say at one point they stop. They still might not believe they have self-worth, but they just
right.
plain stop. So part of it, we can take our retraining into our own hands. You know, one of the things that I did, and, you know, it never really ever occurred to me I would wake up. I just was in such deep hell that I just didn't want to be in deep hell. I didn't aspire to be a spiritual teacher. I didn't, none of that. None of that mm-hmm. was on my plate. I wanted to be cool. I didn't want to be spiritual, which is kind of funny. But anyway, what I did was I decided to brainwash myself. And I began to somebody else had already brainwashed me. You know, there was a belief system in place. Then mm-hmm. how was I going to break with this extraordinary belief system? Mm-hmm. And so I began the process of reading. I quit reading for pleasure and began the process of intentionally reading things. And I could tell, even when I was in fear, I could tell when I was reading something that was truthful. And mm-hmm. I read and I read and I read. I went to classes. You know, I worked with Miguel constantly. You know, people, the problem, I have three thoughts there. It's interesting to me that I put that much effort into it, but I just didn't want to suffer anymore. I couldn't stand my own suffering. And it's interesting to me now that people just want a blue pill or a red pill or whatever that was from the Matrix that makes it all go away.
right.
Because what makes it all go away is our unwavering desire to have it be different. You know, we have to really draw our own line in the sand and be willing to cross it. I mean, the rewards are invaluable. You get a life. I'd say you get your life back, but, you know, so many of us didn't even have a life exactly to begin with. We were playing at having a life. But to really do it is like to commit yourself to a journey that takes you from fear to love. What's not to love about that idea?
Yes.
You know, and I can tell you, having just said that, I'd like to say what's to love, not to love about that idea is one voice, and that is the judge saying in the back of our heads, you won't make it. You're going to be the exception. You're not really a child of God. There's something really kind of wrong with you.
Mm.
We're afraid of what we'll find. It's crazy. We're afraid of what we'll find. We don't want to go there. We're not ready. And yet what we find is the truth of ourselves, which sets us free from our suffering.
It almost begs, when we're afraid of what we'll find, I wonder if there's a deeper fear of finding oneself. And then it's like, then what? You know, once you find yourself, oh, wait, well, I can do anything I want to do. You mean I create this? It's an interesting dance. I want to ask you about the Toltec wisdom, because we've been talking about it, and coming from a place that everybody gets what that is. Can you explain what is that, and how is it different from other forms of spirituality?
You know, I think when I was doing this brainwashing thing on myself that I was telling you about, I read an awful lot of books by a woman named Sherry Huber, C-H-E-R-I, Huber, H-U-B-E-R. Mind you, I never went to see her talk. Don't have the faintest idea if she's still alive. Don't know any of these things. But she was a Buddhist. And she would write these very simple books that were just stunning in their simplicity and their truth. And so if I don't know what the trappings of the Buddhist formalized religion are, but I can tell you at the basis of it, it was the same as Toltec. you know, I can tell you at the basis of what Christ taught, it is the same. You know, I don't think you can have a great mystery tradition, a great tradition of the one of God, and not have it really be basically the same underneath all of man's traditions or man's interpretations. So what is the Toltec? Well, the Toltec has, you know, a bunch of mythology and, you know, different points of view about what really happened thousands of years ago in Mexico and so forth. But what it really is at its base, it is love is the answer, whatever the question. It is that we dream reality, and it is within our ability to bring heaven to earth. And I really think that however, whatever words you would use, the mythology around the Toltec isn't so important. It's, of course, fun. If you're interested in mythology, why not? But the teaching, the essence, is that we are one and we are love. So how you get there? Well, you know, we go down to the pyramids and we play with energy and, you know, we do all of these things. But all of it is just about reclaiming the truth of our magnificence, we could say.
I understand.
So the mythology, you know, I don't even teach about it so much. You know, if I'm down in Mexico and people ask me, of course I talk about it. You know, the Toltec, historically, if you, you know, at the heart of the mythology, it was an understanding that there was a group of people that came together in Mexico in a great desire for a particular way of life. And it was a way of life that didn't orient with fear. And so, you know, anthropologists say that the Toltec were a tribe, but that's just not my understanding of it. It was people that came from different tribes that were really interested in what we will now call their awakening. And they built this extraordinary spiritual teaching center, or, you know, for I don't even know quite how to describe that, called Teotihuacan in Mexico. It is energetically, one you might think of it as a living edifice. You know, when people call it ruins, it's so funny because it always sort of startles me because I think of it as so alive. And the work we do there is so amplified by this extraordinary love. So I don't know if that answers your question. But
No, it does. It does. You know, because you talk about the ruins are actually so alive, and as I listen to you, what's coming up for me is really we here to bring life alive. To reflect that aliveness is happening, to breathe life into life, and to express the life, and the only then that we really fully understand who and what we are, because you talk about it from a different perspective. So what would you say to people who are saying, well, you know, I like that. I like their teaching. It resonates with me when I read it, when I read Jenny's book, when I read Don Miguel Ruiz's book. There's something about it. How would they go about it? Is it like they have to have like a special teacher to do it, or is that something that you teach?
Well, you know, I have students that call and do sessions with me. I have people that go to Teotihuacan with me. I go a couple of times a year, and it's like doing an intensive, you know, down in the sacred site. We are doing one in March. You know, our next one is in March. And those things, coming together and being with other people who have the same desire and the same struggles, because we all have the exact same series of, you know, struggles. I don't care what our socioeconomic situation is. Fear is fear.
Mm-hmm.
It just manifests with a different mask, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, yes, I think it's helpful to work with a teacher, but let me say that there are a lot of really stunning books out there. Miguel's books are great. I think my book, you know, Dreaming Down Heaven, is great. Let me tell you why I think my book is great. It's the story of what I went through. It's done. It's fictionalized, but I thought, how can this be possible that I went from hell to heaven? And as I looked back over it, there were very specific things, these keystones that we've been talking about, that had to be embodied in my experience. So I thought, well, you know, I have to write about this because I have to leave a trail for people. You know, we don't have time to make all of the mistakes on our own. So let me leave a trail so that, you know, people could be benefited. So, you know, whether it's Dreaming Down Heaven, whether it's the Four Agreements, there are other, you know, really extraordinary books out there. These books by the Sherry Huber person. I mean, they're really helpful. It's like, how do we begin to even know what our choices are? Well, let's read about it, you know, and read about it and study it and not have it be intellectual. Just keep in, you know, absorbing something that is a different response than you know, the fear that we've been taught. So, are there teachers out there? Well, of course they are. You know, there's teachers that talk about DNA changes. There's people that talk about social changes. There, you know, the revolution, you know, all these things. There's all this possibility. And there's the books that talk about your relationship with you. And, you know, I did all of them. You know, I was very involved in social change and the during the days of, you know, the burning buildings and so forth. And I wasn't burning buildings, but, you know, I was very involved in social change. And, you know, what I came to was, you know, we really can't save the world until we save ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, the saving of the world is when we save ourselves. Yes. When we take actions from love in the world, it impacts everything in the world. You know, war doesn't stop war. You know, sometimes to get the attention of the humanity, you have to get a few pyrotechnics involved. But love is really what stops war, you know.
Yes.
Acceptance, yes, peace. You don't get to peace without atom bombs. It just doesn't happen that way, you know. So, you say, be the change you want to be, you know, you want to see. Guess what? That's it. It's really it.
Yes, you got to be the change.
Yeah. But just how many of us would have to actually change like that to really create a quantum change? You know, if there were just, I think, probably a very small percentage. We're just willing to go, okay, no more fear. No more fear.
Sorry to interrupt, but I really want to go there because I'm just feeling as you were talking and you're sort of moving that direction. I'm feeling or thinking of people who say, well, you know, I was going through hell and I started on this spiritual path. I started reading, but it looks like since I've been on a spiritual path, everything is just crumbling. I'm sick. I've got a headache. You know, just think about it. The worst thing that could ever happen is happening to me, and I'm supposed to be on a spiritual path. What would you say to someone going through that phase right now?
Okay, first of all, I can match bad story to bad story with anybody listening. And I'm going to go back to, here's the thing. Our experience is simply how we hold it within ourselves. When I really drew my line in the sand, I gave away everything I owned. I sold my house. I kept the money from the house. Okay? Bought a piece of property here. And everything that could go wrong went wrong. Murphy Road shotgun in a really profound way. It was sort of like God was, you know, sort of whispering out of the heavens, you want to start a healing center? Great. Let's start with you.
You be the healing center of transformation, and the physical place will show up. It's like, oh, wait a minute, that's a bit too much.
So, you know, it's a really relative thing, because all of those quote-unquote bad things happening are just things happening. If we choose to focus on and hold them as bad, then there goes our happiness. You know, it's like we start tying our happiness, to events beyond our control. They don't come and go. Our happiness doesn't come and go away. Our suffering takes it away. Happiness is our birthright. We're its source. It can't be missing. But we put it at risk every time we connect it to events beyond our control. So, you know, all of these things that, quote unquote, go wrong, well, goodness, you know, the judge is still there, remember? The judge is. And if the judge is going to be qualitative and go, oh my God, see all these bad things, well, guess what you're going to see? All these bad things.
Right.
The truth is, it's just things. The mind then goes in and goes, oh, bad things. If we don't choose to call them bad, then they're just things, and we don't have to, you know, volunteer our happiness.
It's the game of life, you know. But we're talking about the judge and this happiness. And I want to ask you this, because we're in 2012. And there's a lot going, a lot of thoughts about it. What are your thoughts about this new vibration, the vibration speeding up, or the world is coming to an end, and the other, you know, some of it's fear-based and some of it is empowering, like it's not the end. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, any thought that I would come up with is straight ahead going to just be an opinion. I don't have a bead on the truth, okay? I can tell you that I remember 20 or 30 years ago hearing all these prophecies long before it was a, you know, commonly held thought form, that there was going to be a showdown, if you will, between light and dark. Mm-hmm. So let's just say what that really means is between love and fear. Between is and isn't. So, am I completely aware that there is a vibe going on? Well, hello. You'd have to be conscious, you know, not to get that there was this vibe out there. And I look at it, and I really don't know. I don't know if the thought has been put into the minds. If there has been, as the Toltecs say, there's been a change in the quality of light, which I'll talk about in a second. I don't know if, you know, I don't quite believe that the world is going to come to an end, but I believe that the belief systems that we have all held are absolutely changing.
Yes.
They're being called out. You wouldn't know it by watching, like I said, the political mess on TV, but they're being called out, you know. I mean, who could have ever imagined those things in the Middle East? Who could have imagined that?
Mm-hmm.
No one.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the prophecies also said it would start there. You know, if you want to get technical, and who cares, it doesn't matter. The Toltec, the mythology of the Toltec say that some years ago, not now, some years ago, there recently though, you know, there was a change in the quality of light. Well, so what does that mean? Well, if you take it down to quantum physics, we are light, we're made of light, there is no empty space because it's all filled with light, then we would have to just guess out the gate that information travels on light. You know, whatever it is, our DNA is light. Everything is composed at some level of light. You know, we eat, plants that are fed by light. So we get our light that keeps our light body going through the photosynthesis of plants. That kind of thing. I mean, I don't want to get crazy technical here because, first of all, I can't. But so if there's a change from, like, headquarters in the quality of light, then what it's going to say is that we are being fed something that is of a higher vibration. Now, why would that make any sense? Well, geez, I don't know, but it seems to be true. You know, some of these things, they're all so esoteric, and who knows? So I, first of all, I'm going to claim not to know anything except this is the year 2012. And a lot of people are putting it all on the line. Mm-hmm. That it's kind of crazy out there. And that love is still the answer. And the answer is always going to be in the moment. No matter what.
Always in the moment. No matter what. Yes, yes, yes. You're getting close to releasing the show. We want to just remind you that the show is archived and it's available to listen. You can listen again. You can download it. We also invite you to share with your friends, your lovers, your haters, your enemy, but you really don't have an enemy. But your enemy is your inner me, it's your inner self. And when you can share something good with your enemy and your haters, ooh, God, that's a true demonstration of love. And you can like the like button. You can tweet it. You can text it. Just yell it and say, listen, this is the truth. That's right, I said it. That's my truth. This is the truth. What's your truth? Be led by your heart. The number is 347-426-3346. Before we let Ginny go on to the next adventure, I want to ask you this, because in one of your videos you talk about this, and I think it's so powerful, and we struggle with that sometimes. Some of us do. The power of no. It's easier to say yes sometimes because it looks like we're agreeable. But to say no is like, ooh, how dare I say no? Can you speak more about the power of no?
Well, we're going to go over if I do. You know, I think many of us, you know, it's the honest thing.
You can, if you've got time, we can go over. Because that's, you know,
this is a really big, complicated, and important thing. And it has to do with using our voice. Women in particular, men, I'm sure to some degree, none of us say what's in our heart. We don't say what we're thinking. We don't say no. We say yes because we've been taught it's impolite not to agree. We've been taught that we should say yes, otherwise we're selfish. And all of these things are really kind of crazy. We have a very disempowered yes because we don't know how to say no. We don't know how to say no. Thank you. We think if we say no that we're being mean, that we have to get all pumped up and get some really nasty energy to say no instead of just saying, well, gosh, no, thank you. Our no, we feel there's a price we pay. We feel that we lose our mask of being just a real swell person if we don't say no. And so what we've got is just a bunch of liars going around, you know, interacting with each other.
All the spiritual truth students lying.
You know,
oh,
honey,
that's funny.
It's the truth. And we have to brave up, you know. We have to brave up and practice our no.
Yes.
Because then... When we say yes, it's like yes, and we really mean it. You know, I have friends that also teach this work and that I, you know, really love my relationship with because we can be so honest with each other. And our honesty doesn't hurt our feelings. We're tickled, so tickled to be, I don't have to think and second guess and try to make room for how I know someone is in their, you know, in their little wounded craziness, because they're willing to just be there with me, and it's like, thank you. Thank you so much. Because then the no doesn't have to have bad energy. It's just like, well, gosh, no. I don't think so, but thank you anyway. You know?
Yes. Because ultimately, we would rather have someone say no to something they know they can't do
rather than say yes, and later on they say, well, you know, I was only trying to help you. And it's like, ah, she just told me at the beginning. And I also see that, to say no to somebody is saying yes to oneself. And until we get empowered or feel free to say yes to ourselves, we're forever going to be, stuck in, you know, living a nightmare.
And one caveat here. We think that when we say no, that we're selfish. And I guarantee you, we cannot be loving out into the world if we are unloving to ourselves. The more loving we are to ourselves, not indulgent, loving, genuinely kind and loving, the more we want to share it. It becomes our nature.
What I love about this thing called life, when you're in the moment, you would know when enough is enough. So all the other questions that I have now, I'm just going to recycle them and just let it go to the ethers. Oh, thank you, Jenny. But before you go, is there anything you want to add, share with our listeners, maybe a thought you want to leave them with before you go?
Well, just a couple of things. One, it's Jenny is spelled with G-I-N-I, Gentry, G-E-N-T-R-Y, .com, or you can go to dreamingdownheaven.com. My book is available on Amazon easily, Dreaming Down Heaven on Amazon. And I have a journey coming up to Teotihuacan. There's a special on it that if you decide that you want to just go for the gold and you get your get committed before the end of January, we've got a great special going on. The journey is March 23rd through the 28th, the Ascending Levels of Consciousness outside of Mexico City. I've been about 80 times. It's extraordinary. Come play in the magic. If someone's wanting a personal session, I'm also offering a special today half price from what the price on my website. So if anyone wants to come play, gosh, come on, love to have you. Thank you, Ade. It's been just a delight to be with you today, honey.
Thank you. I've enjoyed you as well. You're sharing your energy. And even though you're on the phone, I feel like you're right here. Thank you for the work you do. Thank you for being a gift to humanity.
Thanks, sweetie. You too.
Life is good. It's getting better. Let's play some song, and then we'll come back. We're not really going to wrap the show up. We're just going to release the show, because there's really no need to wrap it up. We just need to open the gifts. We need to open it up. So let's just, I'm feeling led to play this song right now. Cynthia James, and when we come back, just share some things that are bubbling up for me. Life is good. It's getting better. Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. We'll be back. Cynthia James, standing in the light. You are the light. Be the light. Shine the light. And stand in the light, Cynthia
you
James.
You can't run. You sure can't hide. The thing you fear will chase you down. You can't cheat or live those lies. When your mind just full of unnecessary thoughts and the world is pulling you down, lift your head up high, get your chin up off the ground, remember you're standing in the light. When your heart is full with the clutter of your life and the rain is falling all around, hold your head up high, put your feet up off the ground, remember you're
fulfilled.
When your mind is full of unnecessary thoughts and the world is pulling you down, lift your head up high, get your chin up off the ground. Remember you're standing in the light. When your heart is full with the clutter of your life and the rain is falling all around, hold your head up high, take your feet up off the ground. Remember you're standing in the
everything looks dark to you. You are standing in the light. How do I know? I know. I know from a deeper place that you are light beings. We are light beings. Everything is energy. You were never born and you will never die. The mind cannot understand it, so don't try to even help the mind understand it. If everything is energy, that means your energy. And energy cannot be destroyed or created. So if you are energy, you were never born, you will never die. Because energy, all you can do is transform it. You transform the energy through your thoughts, through your belief system. Your thoughts become the paintbrush to change, or what they call that thing on a guitar. A pick, that's it. Yeah, that's what I was looking for. A pick. You know, if you know anything about guitars, guitarists or musicians, they have this pick they use to create the music. So your thoughts becomes the pick to transform their energy. So whatever you're feeling and it doesn't feel good, you just pick the right vibration with your thoughts. Like, I'm going to change that. I'm going to get in tune with my life so I can experience harmony. And when I experience harmony, I know that abundance is already here. You know, just think of the words that we use. I just want to thank all of you for being here. What Jenny was sharing with us, it just brought up so much for me. The whole thing about judgment. Are you judging you? Maybe not after the show. Maybe you're not judging yourself anymore. But when you find yourself judging yourself, oh, here's a good one, as Jenny just reminded us. When you find yourself judging others because the judge in you is saying, you're spiritual, you know better than them, they aren't enlightened. Catch yourself, because you can't judge another without you getting the residue of that. It's not even residue. You get an impact of that energy that you're sending out forth, because you become that you judge. You become that you praise, because you are one with the one. So whatever the religious beliefs are, whatever the sexual orientation, whatever it is, all the things that we use to separate ourselves, different countries, different cultures, different languages, different this, vegan and meat eaters and animal lovers and animal haters, whatever it is, the minute you judge one, you judge yourself. Why? Because we are one. We are one, we are love. Now, if we want to see more peace, if we want to see the politicians be nice and not criticize each other, not tell lies, then we've got to be that change. Are you willing? Are you willing? It's so tempting to point out what others are doing. But if you must point out what others are doing, catch yourself. Be aware that, I am recognizing something about me that needs healing. We are the one because we're one with the one. And love is the answer. Love is the key. And when I say love, what Jenny was talking about, when she's talking about love, it's not the emotional love. Like, oh, I'm falling in love. No, it's the love that sets you free. It's the love that holds things together, that holds everything together. So your job, your responsibility, your obligation, your intention, your reason for being is to be able to look at the devil and see the face of God. It's to look at your ego and see God. It's to see the judge and see the angel. But you have to do that. You have to be the change you want to see. I thank you all for being here, for committing to your own spiritual growth and transformation. We're all in this together. You make a difference. And here on Life Conversations Radio, we're going to continue to do our part. And we welcome your comments, your suggestions by going to lifeconversationsmedia.com, lifeconversationsmedia.com. Tomorrow, what are we talking about tomorrow? Like Betty would say, I'm flying solo tomorrow. I think, the topic tomorrow is surrendering to your greatness. What is seeking to be birthed? What good is seeking to come out here? Because sometimes the challenges that you're having, I'm not going to do tomorrow's show now, but I'm just going to just whet your appetite. The challenge that you're having right now is actually a blessing. It's letting you know it's time to step up. It's time to let go. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. And Life Conversations Radio is here Monday, Tuesday. Actually, we're here every day because if we're not live, you can check out the archive. And it's so important not to go a day without Life Coach a day. Oh, gosh, help me. But anyway, we'll be back tomorrow at 12. Check out our website for upcoming guests and past guests. And, there's so many shows that we've done, but I'm going to stay in the now and stay in the recent now. Deborah Johnson was here on Thursday. The topic was sacred sexuality. You got to listen to that. Listen to Greg Braden, or just go to the archive and look at it and just listen to whatever calls you. We're going to take a quick break, and then I'm going to do Abraham. Maybe we're going to do Deborah Johnson. I don't know. Let's take a break. And let's just bring this, my friends, to remind you why you do not want to go a day without Life Coach Ade. Les Brown, tell them why they need to listen to Life Conversations Radio.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
It's going to change your life. And how does that happen? It happens by being the change you want to see. You got to be the change. You got to be it.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Yes, indeed. And we'll start by loving our children, by loving ourselves, and reminding them who they really are.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you don't need to talk to me about sex.
Maybe you do control what I'm exposed to.
But maybe not.
Maybe I hear about sex every day.
In the media? From my friends?
Maybe while you're not talking to me about sex, everyone else is.
So talk to me. Tell me to wait to have sex.
Because you can influence me.
For help starting the conversations, visit 4parents.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
And so it is. What do you believe? If what you believe is keeping you stuck, you might want to do something about that. It's time to move from knowing intellectually to embodying. from a place of heart, from a heart-centered space. This is, I got the word from the headquarters, the internal guidance system said, play unity, because that's what it's about. Until you're completely united with yourself, you can't see unity outside of yourself. There really is no outside, because what you're looking at, you're looking with. I will see you tomorrow. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you, and I thank God for you. Be love, be true to yourself, and be loved. Allow the love to come in. Love yourself, love one another. This is a spoken word from Valerie Joy. Her website address is valeriejoy.com, Valerie Joy, valeriejoy.com. And the title of the spoken word done by Reverend Deborah Johnson is Unity. Where is it? I just saw it. Okay, that's okay. Just stay in a moment. You're going to find it. It's right here. No, it's not. Where is it? This thing is supposed to be in alphabetical order. Somebody's playing games. Where is it? Ah, there it is. Unity, Deborah Johnson is the one doing spoken words. And you can find it on valeriejoy.com, valeriejoy.com. I will see you tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern. I love you. I'll see you tomorrow. Peace and blessings.
If I am you and you are me, then let's explore the unity, the harmony never conceived before. So sure, doors closed, now bulldozed by possibility. My reality reordered by divine order that transcends, ascends who and what I used to be. A mere vessel of personality. Too small to contain, too small to restrain. A content too infinite to define. Too magnificent to confine. Too perfect to refine. Too precious not to align with the truth of my being. Now seeing with fresh new eyes, the lies no longer capturing my attention, a new comprehension of a dimension of purity that opens my heart to our unity. If I am you and you are me, then where is the unity? The responsibility to dare to care for one another. No cover can camouflage our connection. The detection defies rejection. No objection can force my defection. No more dejection of what I know to be true. You are me, and I am you. A truth so simply true that it escapes our imagination, our affirmation, our determination to live like we know what we know. No more spiritual amnesia, a seizure that has us convulsing with the pulse of the world at a beat so steady that it makes us wonder if we are ready to step to the drummer inside. Step on with the rhythm that says that we are marching together, and whether fair or foul, through sunshine and storms, causation and forms, we acknowledge each other's existence, no longer pretending like I don't see you. 2 inches from me in the elevator. Standing next to me in the grocery line. No longer acting like what happens to you and your family bears no reality on my health and well-being. Now decreeing that our interconnectedness creates a nest in my heart that hatches a love that remains no matter the strains on our relationship. I don't have to like you to love you. And I am the people that I don't like. And with enough foresight, I'll grow to love the you that's me.
And even if it's hindsight, it still guides my vision, informs my decision to stay open and concerned when I've been burned or returned to someplace I couldn't forgive before. Yet the doors, once closed, are bulldozed into possibility, reordering my reality with an order so divine that all I can do is shine. Remind myself of our unity, born out of our divinity, which only needs an opportunity to just be. Be what? Be everything, especially one with you. If I am you, okay, and you are me, then where is the unity? The sense of urgency that says that our fate, intertwined by divine design, can't wait until I am ready to do what I ought. My heart caught in a thicket of indifference. Can't wait to feel what I should or release what I could have done. Our oneness through condemnation and separation. Our liberation is in the revelation that I am you and you are me, and that together we are one people. I won't forget that you are not a threat to my being who I am meant to be. You cannot hinder my authenticity.
Days be numbered, not by moments or years, not in laughter or tears, triumphs or fears. Let our legacy be our unity, left behind for all to see, a legacy of unity. Alive, available today for all to be.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life. Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.